Welcome to this week's episode of Dance Monkey Dance. I'm Chris Hayner.
I'm John Michael.
How are you, John?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm not bad. How was your weekend? Yeah. Or your week, rather?
My week? It was pretty good. Very busy.
Very busy?
Very busy, yes. Overnights this weekend, so.
Oh, that's always fun.
Yeah, good times.
Nothing like seeing the sun rise, right?
Well, yeah, that and the type of people who actually work that night shift. There's a reason they work in the dark.
And you're stuck with them.
Yes, I am.
So, John, as we sit and record this, we're recording this the day before Labor Day.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, as with everything that's on TV right now, everybody, you know, there's the Labor Day telethon that's going on that doesn't have Jerry Lewis this year. And all these places are doing programming for, you know, Labor Day type stuff. So, in that tradition, naturally, Spike is doing a Star Wars marathon.
Mm-hmm.
And there was kind of a big uproar in the nerd Star Wars community this week. I don't know if you saw any of it, you working on overnights.
I did see some new edited footage of a very key scene.
Yes. Apparently, when the DVDs come out this month, George Lucas has fucked with the movies yet again. He did it in 1997, to which there was huge backlash, and apparently he doesn't give a fuck because he's doing it again.
They're his movies.
Okay, true.
And the changes, it's not like he's taking Casablanca and changing the ending.
Well,
like, it's his movie. He can do whatever the hell he wants.
Okay. But the changes are, like, now when Darth Vader kills the Emperor, he now yells no, kind of like he does in Episode 3.
Mm-hmm.
The Ewoks blink now, which is really fucking bizarre. If you've seen that,
I did not see that.
Oh god, it's so weird. Because they're digitally added eyelids.
Okay.
Kind of funky. But you bring up that they're his movies, and back in 1988. Ted Turner bought Citizen Kane and became the official copyright holder of that movie and was going to colorize it.
Right.
George, actually, this is kind of long, but I'm going to read the whole thing. This is what George Lucas had to say when that all came about. He's quoted as saying, "People who alter or destroy works of art and our cultural heritage for profit or as an exercise of power are barbarians. And if the laws of the United States continue to condone this behavior, history will surely classify us as a barbaric society. The preservation of our cultural heritage may not seem to be as politically sensitive an issue as when life begins or when it should be appropriately terminated, but it is important because it goes to the heart of what sets mankind apart. Creative expression is at the core of our humaneness. Art is a distinctly human endeavor. We must have respect for it, and we are to have any respect for the human race." And then he says, "These current defacements are just the beginning. Today, engineers with their computers can add color to black and white movies, change the soundtrack, speed up the pace, and add or subtract material to philosophical tastes of the copyright holder. Tomorrow, more advanced technology will be able to replace actors with fresher faces or alter dialogue and change the movement of an actor's lips to match. It'll soon be possible to create a new original negative, whatever changes or alterations the copyright holder of the moment desires. In the future, it'll become even easier for old negatives to become lost and be replaced by their new altered negatives. This would be a great loss to our society. Our cultural history must not be allowed to be rewritten."
Okay.
Now, Ted Turner was officially the copyright holder. So if we're going to make the argument that these are George Lucas's movies, because he's the copyright holder, you know, In 1988, he was all up in arms about people changing what were considered classic movies. And there's a whole generation of motherfuckers out there that grew up on Star Wars and feel that it's their cultural movie.
But it's still, he's not only the copyright holder, he's the creator of that. And I think that's where the difference is.
I don't. You know, it's very hypocritical to be like, oh, they're going to change shit in the future. And then be like, we're changing shit now that it's the future.
But he's changing his own stuff. He's not paying the copyright to the Maltese Falcon and colorizing it. And in that pivotal scene where they're scraping the paint off the Falcon and they find out it's lead, replacing it with solid gold and giving them a happy ending. He's taking something that came out of his mind and said, you know what? I think this would be better. And now that I have the money, the time, the resources, I'm going to change that.
But don't you think at some point, I mean, you and I have done projects together.
Mm-hmm.
At some point, you just have to walk away and say it's done. You can't sit there and fucking...
Well, apparently not.
Oh, you can't... Like, I'm not going to go back and re-edit fucking Harley and Selena and be like, hey, here's the new updated 2011 version. In this one, the girls kill the psychiatrist.
Hey, I like that.
But, you know, because at some point you just have to move on to your next project and be like, this is what it is. Everybody loves this incarnation of the movie. Everybody loved the fact that Han shot first because that is the way they saw it in their childhood.
Sure.
Now, you know, and one of the things that bothers me, like, I can get past the whole prequel thing people say in that George Lucas raped their childhood, because essentially he wrote the prequel movies 30 years after the fact of writing the first three. One of the things that made Star Wars, the first Star Wars trilogy, better, I think, is the fact that he didn't have all the access to the technology. He was kind of held to the story and what he could tell, and what he had the money to do, and the technology at the time allowed him to do.
Right.
When it came to the prequels, and he was like, well, fuck, I can make Coruscant, and it's going to be one gigantic planet made of city, and you can fly through it, and it's going to be fucking awesome. You take something away from the story itself. It's kind of like Jaws. Jaws was the first blockbuster, the first summer blockbuster in existence. It kind of made the whole summer season happen. If the shark had worked in the beginning of the movie, if they had gone to wherever it was, wasn't Cape Cod, was it?
Martha's Vineyard.
If they had gone to Martha's Vineyard at the beginning of the shoot and the shark worked, it wouldn't have been the same movie. But because Spielberg had to deal with a broken shark, and there's that great documentary where Richard Dreyfuss talks about every once in a while you'd hear over the radio, you'd hear them say, the shark is still not working. And then they'd have to plan out what they were going to do. Because they had to hold the shark to the end, it was more suspenseful and a better movie. And I think it's because they had to use what they had. And when you start monkeying with stuff that's been done, it's the same thing as like when Spielberg altered E.T. and took all the guns out of the cops' hands.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you just have to leave.
Well, that was a stupid move. It didn't do anything to advance the story.
So
it was just a politically correct thing where, okay, you don't want the cops pointing guns at little kids.
So Darth Vader screaming no advances the story?
Well, if it's something that George Lucas thinks should be there, then yes, it does.
Blinks on the Ewoks?
Why not? Why not? Because are the Ewoks fish? Is that why they don't blink?
Well, no, because they're...
And it's science fiction. It's not like Jaws. Jaws was, aside from the big mechanical shark, a realistic contemporary film.
Okay.
It's not like he's taking the King's Speech and going in and removing the character Stutter. He's taking a piece of science fiction and just refining it in the way that he, as the creator, feels is appropriate. And he's made all kinds of changes throughout the different releases of this film.
Do you think that he's of the mind then that in order to sucker another $90 out of the American public per set of Blu-ray discs that he needs to add shit?
No, I think he's just working towards the ultimate vision of his product. Seriously.
But when is that vision going to be reached?
When he's done with this.
I don't know.
Maybe, and for all we know, when he's dead and gone, Jet's going to rediscover these, and suddenly he's going to start tinkering with them, and he's going to replace all their voices with people on helium.
I don't know,
And
man.
he's perfectly able to do that. And if you don't want the movie, then don't fucking buy it.
Well, see, I'm not gonna because I already have the DVDs and I don't really care that. I mean, the only change that I agree with that I've seen is they're replacing the episode one puppet Yoda with a digital one to match the other three movies. That I get.
Right.
It's a continuity thing. That's fine. You wanna monkey with that, that's fine. But when it comes to like Han shooting or like Greedo shooting first and
Right.
you know that kind of shit, the American public has embraced the movie at a certain level. And I don't th it's hard to me for, to even think like what can be done now that couldn't be done in 1997. Without, let's just go for the original three. We won't even talk about the prequels. But the original three movies, he was able to clean up all the matte lines, clean up all the other crap that went along with what was lacking.
So, are you saying that he shouldn't have done that? That he should have left it? He should have been held to the quality he had in 1977,
Sure.
and that was it.
Sure, because as a filmmaker, he needs to move on. He
No, he
needs.
doesn't.
Yes, he
He's
does. He can't
making
dwell anymore.
billions of dollars from this. He can tweak with this until his deathbed.
I don't know.
It's his. He owns it. It's not like he took somebody else's work, like he didn't buy the Beatles catalog and then suddenly sell them to Apple to sell computers. It's not that he's just the copyright holder or the schmuck who has enough money to buy it. Like, this was his.
Okay.
This came out of his mind through all the different changes from the Journal of the Wills to, you know, all that stuff. It's
Right.
his. He can change it. If he wanted to go back and take Raiders of the Lost Ark and animate the face of the idol, he could do that.
Yeah, I guess.
Because it's his. Now, if Ted Turner buys the movie and does that, then it's wrong.
Okay, if you say so.
No, you
This is
don't
going to
believe
be
me?
one of those things that we agree to disagree on.
I think as long as it's the original creator making the changes, then it's okay.
So if
Whether
you.
it's replacing the hand puppet Yoda with CGI to, you know, changing the scroll in Empire Strikes Back or in what was it, episode one that he's changed the scroll at the top for the film?
He added a title to it.
Yeah.
Because originally it was just Star Wars, and then he did the episode four New Hope crap.
Right.
I don't know, man.
It's his. He owns it. It's his baby.
I just
If he
think
wants
he.
to dress the baby up so it looks like a little prostitute and it's on toddlers and tiaras.
So at some point when he decides that he needs to go back to the original notes that he got from 20th Century Fox and put pants on Chewbacca. That's okay, even though it
If
doesn't
he
move the
makes
story
that if
forward.
He makes that decision, yes.
Okay.
I don't see how adding James Earl Jones' credit to the movie
Well,
is such a big deal. It's like,
that's
okay, you
not.
can go back and do this. So let's go change it.
But you're monkeying with the.
But you can. That's what I'm saying. You have the money, you have the resources, you have the studio.
I don't know. I just think he needs to stop.
You are the owner. If you want to paint flames on the side of your Subaru, you own it. You can do it.
I don't know.
If I want to paint flames on the side of your Subaru, there's something wrong with that.
But not if you... Okay. By that logic, though, not if you buy the car from me.
Well, see, that's just it. If I buy the car from you, then it's mine.
Wait. But if somebody buys the copyright to a movie,
that's different.
They technically own the movie then.
That's different, though. You didn't... Yes, I hear what you're saying. But it's not the same thing. You can't buy the Mona Lisa and paint a mustache on it.
Why not? It's yours.
No.
What? But you just said you could do anything you want with it if you own it.
Not if you own it. If this is your original work of art, if you want to go in and you want to buy a Van Gogh and you want to fix all the squiggly lines so it's sharper, you can't do that. But if Van Gogh was living today and he had LASIK and said, holy shit, that looks like crap, and wants to go back and repaint Starry Night, well, he could do that.
Well, what if, let's say Citizen Kane, let's take that since that was in the article I read. If the original copyright holder is dead, family wants nothing to do with it, they're like, oh, Ted Turner wants his fine, we'll sell it to him.
Mm-hmm.
The person who created it is dead. Can Ted Turner go and make changes then?
No. Well, he can because he in the same way that Michael Jackson can buy the Beatles catalog and then sell it off piecemeal for advertising.
Okay.
Okay. I'm saying that there's something wrong with that. I'm not saying you can't do that. But I'm saying that if I created this project and suddenly I get a new technology that I think makes it better, then I'm entitled to go back and do that.
But
and I'm a private business. Yeah. I'm not answerable to stockholders. So fuck you all. If I want to put tap dancing elves in the cantina scene with little Santa bags and candy canes, and I created it, then to hell with you. I'm going to do it.
Okay.
If I want to have Jefferson Starship singing a song,
but don't
on
you,
Life Day,
don't you think that there's somebody standing there next to Lucas going, okay, if you do this, there's going to be backlash. But if you take the original three movies, the ones that were released in 1977, clean them up a little bit, but leave the shit intact the way it played out in 1977. You know, get rid of the fucking Jabba scene, let Han shoot first, all that other crap that he put in. Don't you think he'd sell twice as many Blu-rays?
Do you think he cares about money today?
He must if they're pricing the fucking Blu-rays at $90 a pop. And if he didn't care about money, he'd be putting all the extra shit on the two separate versions where you could buy each trilogy separately. But you have to buy the $90 one if you want all the extra shit that comes along with it. The deleted scenes and all that other crap.
I don't think that's his decision.
I think he's that much in control, though.
I don't know. I think it's 20th Century Fox saying, you know what? There may be a market out there for XYZ, but we think this is the way to go.
I saw those changes and it was like, why? Why do you have to... Just leave it. Because it's not... Fundamentally, at this point, it's not the movie that I saw when I was three that kind of pushed me in the direction of being a video editor and all that kind of crap. It's not. It's the same movie, but it doesn't have the same beats in it anymore. It's... You know, if he wants to clean shit up, then he needs to go back and he needs to do things like get rid of that horrid shot of... When Luke's coming into Mos Eisley, and the speeder bike almost, they knock the Jawa off the big dinosaur looking thing that looks like shit. You know that scene? You'd know it if you saw it.
The big dinosaur thing?
They're riding on the back, the Jawas are riding on the back of this dinosaur thing, and a swoop bike comes in and almost hits them
Ah.
and knocks the Jawas off. Get rid of that or update that. Do something, but fucking don't start adding shit again.
But I can. I am all powerful.
But I think, see, if he was, if, okay, if he had written the prequels at the exact same time as Star Wars,
Right.
you wouldn't have as much flashy shit that people complain about as you did, because he'd be working within the constructs of that story. And what made the original three good is what they weren't real epic and sweeping. They were confined to this one group of characters. You know, you never saw Coruscant. You saw the Emperor kind of in the second film, but you really didn't get to meet him until the third. You know, because they were confined to a budget and what they could do technologically, it made the story better. You know, and it's just like when they came back and they did the fourth Indiana Jones film. Everybody pitched a fit about it. If you took that film and made the character somebody other than Indiana Jones and get rid of maybe the swinging through the jungle thing with the monkeys, that film, if it was a Steven Spielberg film, probably would have done major business. But because the first three Indiana Jones films were, you know, they were about religious artifacts and they had to work with what they had. You know, if you watch Raiders of the Lost Ark and you watch Crystal Skull, almost every fucking scene in Crystal Skull has some kind of digital enhancement to it. Whether it be the sunset in the beginning or the planes flying over the base or whatever. It just doesn't fit the trilogy or the other films. If they had taken just the film on its own, changed the main character, and then all of a sudden it was about aliens, I think it would have done fucking phenomenal. But everybody's expectations based on the first three movies were so high that no matter what they did, they could make another one and try to say, look, we're sorry about this, the last one. But it's built up in people's minds so much that they're never going to be able to top the first three.
Well, but does that matter when you made over $800 million between your domestic and your foreign gross on that? $800 million.
If you consider yourself an artist, yeah, it's integrity. You don't care about money.
Does he say he considers himself an artist? Where does it say that?
I would assume
Does the name on his door say George Lucas, fucking artist?
It doesn't
I
say
don't think it
George
does.
Lucas millionaire or
Well, of
billionaire,
course
whatever the
not.
fuck he is.
I mean, his name's on the goddamn ranch. Why do you need to know any more?
Okay, I don't know.
The movie made $800 million, and you're saying it's a crappy movie. I would love to have a crappy movie that did half of that.
I'm not saying it's a crappy movie as far as the film in a whole, because if you watch it by itself, it's bearable. You can sit through it and you can get, you know, you can get past the giant ants and all that kind of crap. What I'm saying is it doesn't live up to the other ones. And the reason it doesn't is because now they have the ability to go, we can do whatever the fuck we want. You can take this and you can just, what do you want to do? Well, let's put them in a refrigerator and a nuclear explosion happens and the refrigerator goes flying, but he's okay.
I was lead lined.
Well, okay, that's fine. We'll do that. We'll get that in there. We'll send all the plates to CGI, whatever. As opposed to Raiders of the Lost Ark, well, we're going to put Indiana Jones under a truck. Well, how are we going to do that? We'll get a stuntman. We're going to get a stuntman, we're going to dig a trench, and he's actually going to go under the truck. There's a realism to that that wasn't in Crystal Skull. And I think it suffered for it.
but there's a totally different audience.
But
If you
there's
had
not.
re if yes, there is. If you had released a movie like Indiana, like Raiders of the Lost Ark today, people would think that that was an old-fashioned movie and it wouldn't survive the weekend box office. You have to keep moving forward.
But it's a genre pick.
No, it's not.
But it is. It's a genre period pick, just like the others. It's an action adventure picture set in, well, this time the 50s.
Right, but it's being made in the new millennium using the filmmaking tools that are available to it. It's not like, okay, this one's taking place in the 1950s, so go get me all 1950s vintage camera equipment because that's how I'm going to shoot it.
But they didn't do that with the originals either.
No, they made it at the time with the equipment that was available,
And
and now there's better equipment available.
they made really good movies with that equipment. And if you compare that to Crystal Skull, Crystal Skull, I think, suffers from the technological advancements. Just
Well,
because you have a shot of a military base doesn't mean you need CGI planes flying over.
why not?
Because you don't.
Says who? Who the hell are you?
You know,
Honestly, who the hell are you?
I'm the
George
ticket buyer.
Lucas, $800 million movie. If you're not gonna want to go see it, then who cares?
I do want to see it because I'm a
G
fan
go
of the
watch
others.
Spy Kids. Go watch Alvin and the Chipmunks the Squeakquel.
No.
We don't care. Really don't care.
Okay. But I'm the ticket
But
buyer.
again, if Ted Turner bought Raiders of the Lost Ark and made all these changes, then there would be something wrong with that. But as long as the person who originally had this vision is making improvements that he feels are appropriate, I'm sure somebody's going next to him. It's like, okay, really? Do we really need the extended dance sequence in Jabba's palace? Okay? He's going, screw you, I want it.
Okay.
And it's his prerogative.
Okay. I just think
Pope Bobby
there's
Brown.
I just think that once you're done with a movie, you need to be done with it. Move on to something else.
Says who?
Don't me.
Screw you.
Okay. Okay. So anyway.
I mean, seriously, it's like it's my movie. I created this. These are my characters out of my mind.
Right.
And who am I going to listen to? I have this multi-million-dollar movie ranch, and we're doing a podcast. So,
We're more cutting edge because we're not confined to anything. Like, we have a different topic every week. We're better. Just go with it.
Whatever.
Shut up, just go with it.
Yeah, where are the action figures?
They're
See?
coming.
That's how I would base the popularity on it.
I
Is there
need
an
you
action figure?
to finish the logo, then I'm getting action figures made.
Yeah, okay. Working on that.
Okay. So anyway. Okay,
I mean,
well.
it's a very interesting point, but I still think that if you created it, then you can go back and do anything the hell you want with it, good or bad.
So he can fuck this up beyond.
If suddenly George Lucas got Alzheimer's and decides it should have been a musical, well, okay.
So he feels Jar Jar Binks needs a larger role in episodes 2 and 3, and he's going to insert them into the original trilogy just 'cause
Why not?
he can do that.
Sure.
Well, the Gungans are in episode 6 now.
See?
Okay. I just think as a filmmaker, you have to listen to your fan base. And when the fan base is bitching at the changes because you've changed something that they've totally fallen in love with, you need to respect them at some point. And even if you were to come out and say, look, there's going to be a version of this that I change, but you're always going to be able to get the original, the one that you guys love. I'd be okay with that because at least you have access to the original movie. But it's getting to the point now where you can't. That's all I'm saying. I guess if there's a point in there for me, that's it. Respect me as the person giving you my money by giving me access to the original version.
Well, you've heard of VHS, right? You fire up the Betamax.
I mean, I have. I bought the original three before. They put them on as extras after they did the big DVD release. They put the original three movies onto a DVD set. And, you know, it was like, do I need to really spend another fucking bunch of money for another version of this just to get those? Because I had bought them bootleg from, like, a comic book convention years before they did it. Because they released them on DVD in Japan in the regular version.
Right.
Without the 1997 enhancements. And it's like, if you can do that there, why can't you do that here? If you're George Lucas and 20th Century Fox is saying, no, you need to release these, can't you say, well, no, I want to release these as well?
Well, maybe he doesn't want to release those.
But he's doing obviously them in other countries.
He needs to make changes. Yeah, but what happens in the U.S. and what happens in foreign countries are totally different.
I know.
I mean, U.S. celebrities do, you know, just prostitute themselves in Japan.
That's true.
So it's a totally different world out there, my friend.
Okay.
Totally.
Well, like I said, that's my point. If we're going to take anything away from this argument, that's it. That's where I stand.
What was your point?
Respect me enough as the person giving my money away to let me have access to the originals if I want it.
You know what? With billions of people alive on this planet Earth, I can't make sure that you personally are happy.
But you have to.
No, I don't have to.
You do, personally. You,
no.
John. Yes. You.
No. Well, for $800 million, I will make you happy. Trust me.
Okay. So anyway.
That's all I have to say. That's. Okay.
Well, then let's move on.
Where are we going?
We're going to go to TV next.
Uh-oh.
So, since we only have this week coming up, and anybody listening who's sick and tired of listening to us talk about Rescue Me, you only have 1 week left to hear us talk about it. I know that you watched the episode, John. What did you think of it?
I thought it was back to the standard of writing that we were used to.
Mm-hmm. As the penultimate episode, do you think that it's fitting? It's a fitting start to the conclusion of the series.
Sure. Why not? I mean, obviously Dennis Leary thinks so. So again, why does my opinion matter?
Well, because everybody's opinion matters to.
No,
your opinion, matters to me. You and I are talking, we're having a discussion. I want to know what you thought of it.
Opinions are like assholes. Everybody has to have one.
Look, stop fucking arguing with me and just tell me what you thought of the goddamn episode.
I thought it was very cleverly written. I love the Mexipus line. It was back to that screwed up Gavin family mentality.
Right.
You know, hey, let's just drink for one day off. And they're all getting really excited. And I thought the ending of it was, you know, kind of back to those old days where you saw how dangerous the job of a firefighter was.
For anybody who didn't watch it, three quarters of that episode takes place at a wedding. Tommy Gavin, played by Dennis Leary's oldest daughter, is getting married. And what John was talking about is that there's all kinds of writing with this dysfunctional family where they just kind of play off each other and it builds. But the last 10 minutes of the film takes place at a fire where they get trapped in a stairwell with no way out. And the very end scene of the episode, Dennis Leary turns to the lieutenant and says, "What do you want to do?" And the lieutenant says, "We'll be fine, just go." at which point the building explodes. The only thing that I didn't understand was that line, was Lou saying to Tommy, "We'll be okay, just go."
Well, that's interesting because somebody else asked me that exact same question.
Well, you know, being the son of a firefighter, I called my father and I said, I explained to him the scene and I said, would that actually happen in that situation? If you can't get out either way and somebody says something else, we'll be okay, just go. Is that reality? Is that based in reality of a firefighter thing, or is that within the writing of a show? And what he told me was, if they're in a situation where they're trapped and somebody thinks they can't stay there, no matter if it's going to get them killed or not, they can't stop them from leaving. Normally they wouldn't. Normally they'd all stick together and try to get out. But in reality, that would never happen. You wouldn't take your gear off at all. You would never take your helmet off. You'd never take your masks off unless your air runs out. And according to my father, the chance of them all running out of air at the same time is, that's TV writing. That wouldn't happen. So we're left with the question, what does that mean? Of what's that exchange between the two think? And I'm curious to think of what you think of that.
Well, see, I took it as something totally differently.
Okay. What did you take it as?
I took it as the events of the wedding, the events of the entire previous season. I think that I didn't see it as Gavin was leaving, like had to get out of there. I took it as Gavin was trying to get the kids out of there, the two idiots who started this fire.
Right.
And when Lou says, go ahead, we'll be okay, I think that was Lou thinking that he might have a chance to get them out. And he's just made this promise to his wife that he's going to quit the force, you know, take a desk job. That if there's a chance of somebody getting out, and obviously the exit on the roof was bricked up.
Right.
So the only way out was back down through the inferno.
Right.
So Lou saying that, you know, it's like, okay, go ahead. You try to get them out that way. We're still going to try to get out this way and we'll be fine. Hmm. Whether that means that if I die doing this, I'm good with that.
Right.
Or I don't want to walk away from here and you die because your wife's going to kill me.
Hmm. Okay. Yeah, that was kind of an angle I didn't even think of. Because obviously people die in this explosion.
Do they?
Well, the coming attractions for the next episode all take place in a church.
With
coffins.
And at what time do they do that? Is this a flashback to after 9/11?
You know, I didn't even consider that.
Because I'm wondering, it's like, who would they kill off in the finale to give them the biggest payoff? And giving this a lot of thought and how we've thought about how this series could end, and seeing that nobody on this show ever redeems themselves.
Right.
Nobody ever has a clear moment of thought. I could see Lou and Black Sean dying. Everybody blaming Tommy for Black Sean dying because he's married to his daughter. And the final shot being Tommy in a gutter with a bottle.
I agree that probably Lou dies because he was the closest to the door. So if you take things rationally from like just what you saw,
mm-hmm.
Lou trying to hold the door closed. Okay. Maybe it's him. I can see Black Sean dying and I can see them blaming, like you said, blaming Tommy, because Tommy was the one that decided to go back for the two
guys.
For
the kids. Yep.
You know, then it's, you got my husband killed, you got all because of you. But at the same time, Tommy was going to go by himself. The rest of the guys decided to go back with him. So you can't really blame Tommy for that. I mean, Tommy would have gone by himself.
He would have gone by himself.
I thought it would be really interesting, like an interesting turn on things if it was Tommy that dies, because then you have this dynamic of people trying to pick up the pieces of the main character being dead in the finale. Not that you wouldn't see him, but you know, it would be a really interesting storytelling device if you killed your main character off the episode before the finale.
Right.
But I definitely think because of the interactions between Lou and the wife and the girlfriend and Tommy, I think Lou's character is played out. And I think he's got nowhere else to go. They've hit everything with him, marrying the porn star, and you know, from where he started to where he is at the end of this episode, I think he's completed his journey. So I think he's probably dead. And I think Franco survives, and I think they're probably going to move Franco up to that position. So like at the end.
But do you think that it would, as a conceit of writing a good story, since Franco is kind of made this decision to clean up his act and straighten up, and he wants to go for lieutenant, that if he were to die, it would be more tragic than Tommy dying?
I don't know. The show goes in so many strange directions at times, it's hard to kind of plan out where they're going.
Right.
They've always been that. They've always, whenever you think they're going to turn left, they turn right.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever you think everything's okay, somebody ends up dying, or somebody leaves, or something happens. Like watching the first couple seasons, you never would have thought that the first chief would have shot himself. Like that comes totally out of left field, and all of a sudden he's dead. Now what do they do? Like, because of that writing, and because we're back to the level that we were at in the first season, anybody dies. They might all die. You know, it might be something to where, you know, you've got Lou, and he's in a good place in his life finally, or he's made amends with everybody. That's fine. Tommy decides that he's gonna quit, and he's gonna be the family man that everybody wants him to be. Black Sean finally is married. White Sean is now engaged. The other dude, Mike, he's fine with the sexuality now, or whatever. So they're all in a place where now all of a sudden, as a writer, they're like, eh, fuck it, kill them all. I don't know. It's gonna be very interesting to see that episode, and it's like an hour and 20 minutes. It's not even, you know, a standard episode.
Right.
So I think it's going to be very interesting. You know, it's going to be sad when this goes off the air, because it's another one of those shows that I've invested, what, 7 or 8 years into.
Right.
Now it's just going to be gone. So.
Right. Well, I don't know. I mean, I think that if the finale is Feinberg sitting in a rocking chair at the nursing home looking at a snow globe, I'm going to be really pissed.
I don't think it's going to be that way, though. I really don't. I don't think, after seeing this episode and seeing the last couple episodes and where they've come from and where they're going, I don't think it's going to be a cop-out. I don't think it's going to be a mentally retarded kid sitting with a snow globe or they all die and they go to heaven. I don't think... My total thing of how this was going to end, I don't think that it's going to be that at all. So I'm kind of turned around on it, and it's going to be interesting to see.
But looking forward to it.
Yeah, I definitely.
We'd like to know what you think. So write to us.
At info@dancemonkeypodcast.com. I was thinking of the Twitter account.
Yes. That's very exciting.
It is.
It is. Well, you know, also talking about TV.
Yes.
Well, I mean, this being Labor Day weekend, a lot of the cable channels are having marathons. And one of my favorite shows was on this weekend on a marathon.
Which was?
Hoarders.
Oh, Jesus.
And this was... I saw some episodes I had never seen before.
Yeah.
And I have come to the distinct conclusion that we're just making fucking excuses for people. Oh, you've got obsessive compulsive disease. Oh, you've got hoarding disease. Oh, you've got this disease. You know what? Throw the fucking shit out, clean up the rat droppings, and get on with your goddamn life. There was this senior citizen who had this beautiful home full of shit, and her son and his girlfriend were living in a shed in the backyard. Her house was condemned, so she couldn't live in it. And it's like, why do we let people get away with this behavior? Do you really think there are all these new diseases that we didn't know about that are suddenly coming to light?
Because we're hoarding?
Well, because of hoarding and hyperactivity and attention deficit disorders and all this crap. Well, and if your stove is covered with rat droppings and your response is, well, we try to wipe it off before we cook, you should just be locked up. You should just be locked up. In one of these episodes, this woman had to have had 20 or 30 animals living in the house with her, dogs and cats. And she was so sad that they were taking her animals away. And one of them was so dehydrated that you could, you know, put your fingers between the bones and its backbone. And the woman's own daughter moved out of the house because it was so disgusting. And she's just more concerned about all these animals. And at one point, they bring this flat carcass to her. And she's like, oh, you found him. I really hoped he had gotten out.
Oh, Jesus.
And they're going to let her go back into her house that they've, you know, that the taxpayers have just paid to clean out. And she's allowed to have, I think it's like 6 animals. So she's going to have 6 animals. And people just need to be smacked in the back of the head.
See, cleaning out the house doesn't solve the problem.
No, it doesn't.
It doesn't solve that problem because she... Now she's got a whole, like, blank canvas to
put more shit in.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's this one old woman who taped everything. Radio shows, TV shows. When she got a DVD player, she started taping DVDs. She had a backyard full of, like, 50 Rubbermaid tubs of TV episodes on VHS. And she was complaining about having to go through them to make sure that there was nothing there she needed. It's like, did she need it? That the 1987 episode of Geraldo that suddenly somebody's looking for and they're going to offer her $1 million? That she's got it right there. These are people we used to call whack jobs.
Well, do you think...
Now they're just kind of, well, they're sick.
Well, do you think that we've moved now beyond Darwin's theory of survival of the fittest?
Yes.
Now that we're putting helmets on everybody and making sure that they don't crack their heads open when they fall off their bikes, it's letting stupid people grow up.
Yes. We shouldn't be cleaning out these houses. We should be waiting till the people die in them and then bulldoze them.
You know,
and maybe make a nice park.
In the words of the late, great George Carlin, he always said when he was a kid, the kid that swallowed the most quarters didn't grow up to have a family of his own. And I think that's very true now. It's very much a society of... It used to be, hey, if you fell down and you died because you cracked your head on the sink, well, that's just because you weren't strong. And now it's... We coddle everybody.
Exactly.
Everybody's got a disease now. There's medication for it. And, you know, it's... Now we're just fucking living with a bunch of people that are... Probably shouldn't be here.
Exactly.
And I think that if we do what we said we were going to do last week and we start the Stupid People Elimination Bureau and just go around and maybe just help evolution along, you know,
I think we give flamethrowers to preschool classes.
Not my daughters.
How do you know? She might be the one who learns how to use it and wipes everybody out.
She would be. She would be. I'd make sure of that.
I just think that between all of these, I mean, there really are excuses for people. You see these commercials about how, your antidepressants aren't working, so you should add this drug to it, and you
Right.
should do this. And it's like, no, that's what the rubber room is for. If you can't get out of bed and take care of your children, we will take your children away. We will lock you up. And that's it.
Yeah, I mean,
We'll give you a job sorting hangers.
think we've become way too politically correct, and
We are.
not everybody is meant to live out a full life.
No, especially the Republicans. I
Well,
think we should buy Michelle Bachmann the most expensive, fastest motorcycle there is and not give her a helmet. And just let her go. Because I think she'll take care of it herself. And if
hey,
we're lucky, she'll have Sarah Palin on the back.
how about better yet, instead of Sarah Palin on the back, we put Michelle Bachmann on the back of a really high-powered motorcycle with Gary Busey,
Oh, there you go.
and just let him fly. Just be like, you can go up Pacific Coast Highway as fast as you want. He'd go nuts. He'd take out everybody. Oh, you know what? We'll put Better yet, we'll put Michelle Bachmann on the back, and we'll tie Sarah Palin like on off of a rope on like a skateboard off the back of the motorcycle. She can kind of like water ski.
There you go. Perfect.
See? I'm making your
Perfect.
dreams come true, John.
Oh, if only you could. If only you could. That'd be amazing.
Can. Trust me.
It'd be amazing. I mean, Walmart would go out of business because who would shop there?
Yeah. Well, people in Arkansas.
Well, no, because we'd be getting rid of most of those. Good times.
Wow. Opinions are flying today.
Aren't they?
They are. You and I haven't argued this much in a long time.
That's right. But I'm right. That's all that matters.
Always trying to get in the last word, aren't you?
Exactly. And I
Nope.
did.
Nope.
Yes.
Nope.
Yep. Yep. See?
You
I
always get
win.
the last word on the podcast anyway.
I win. Winning.
Oh, Jesus. Old Mr. Tiger Blood.
Yes. Who has his own line of Halloween costumes
Yeah,
and
great.
accessories?
'Cause that's not us being responsible.
No, I mean, if you go into the spirit store, they have the Charlie corner. T-shirts and flasks. That's
Awesome.
awesome. Yeah.
Well, I guess we've argued quite enough for today.
I guess we have.
So, I guess if you want to get in touch with us, though I don't know why you would, write in, let us know what your opinion is on the whole Star Wars debacle. Who you side with, Team John or Team Chris. You know, which corner you stand in. Drop us a line at info@dancemonkeypodcast.com. Follow us on Twitter at dancemonkeypod. All the usual crap. Uh-oh. What's the matter, John?
That was weird. I had the TV on pause, and it still had the little icon saying it was paused.
Now it's
And
playing?
it's, yeah. It won't pause again. That's
Well,
bizarre.
while you figure out what ghosts are going on in your little apartment
It
there.
did it again.
So I guess until next week, this is Chris.
This is John.
Have a good week.
Bye bye.